Hey, good morning. Welcome to our service. It's great to be worshiping together. Great to have you here. We just want to welcome everyone, especially if you're here for the first time or maybe been here a few times and checking us out. We're glad that you're worshiping with us. There is a connection card in the pocket in the seat in front of you. If you're new or if you've been here a few times and never filled one of those out and would like to, it's your choice. Share with us as much or as little info as you'd like. But we just love to connect a name with a face, and you can drop those cards in one of the boxes, offering boxes, at the back doors on your way out. But welcome, and we are glad that you are here. I did want to make a real quick announcement. We're ending our diaper drive, our ultimate diaper drive, today. We had two babies join us this month. Is this October? It's still September. And we've got one on the way in October, so we are doing an ultimate diaper drive. Normally, when we have a baby on the way, we'll do a diaper drive and just kind of support the parents that way and encourage them and just say we're here for you in a tangible way. But since we had three kind of coming on at once, we decided to do a huge drive. And you guys have the latest update as of just a couple of minutes ago, right, Lex, is you've brought in 2,492 diapers, all right? So great job. The sad thing is those three babies will go through those diapers in about 2 weeks, right? That's just not fun, but anyway. But thank you for supporting these families with these new little ones. I know James was here last week, little James Ritter. Are we calling him James? Jamie? Does anybody know? Nobody knows. And I think Logan is out there somewhere today. He's the newest born, so we're excited for those little ones. But anyway, so we are wrapping up this series this morning, so grab your notes. They're in your bulletin, or if you want to use your apps to take notes, you can do that as well. But we're finishing up this Christian Elements series on community. We're going to come back to Christian Elements in a few weeks, in a kind of November, December timeframe, with another subtitle. So look forward to that. But as we start this morning, one of the things I just want you to know that we want to do here at Fairfax Circle Church, and it's actually written in our mission statement, is we want to connect people with other people. But that's part of what we want to accomplish here is we want to connect other people with other people because we believe that people serve better when they're serving with other people and they're connected with people. We believe that people grow spiritually better when they're connected with other people who are growing spiritually. So we just want to do that. And so that kind of brings me to my first point that I want to give you this morning. And it's something that we come back to regularly here. I use this language a lot, but it's the idea that circles are better than rows. I've said that before. Some of you, that's not new to you. You've heard it before. Circles are better than rows. Now, we're in rows today, right? And I like rows. I mean, I make a living talking to people every week in rows. So it's not that we're against rows or anything like that, but the reality is something can happen in a circle that cannot happen in a row. In a circle, there's some accountability, right? I mean, so everybody knows your name, and when you're not there, you're missed, and people will come looking for you if you're kind of drifting or something like that. They'll find out what's going on. In circles, there's a sense of connecting and a sense of belonging, right? There's a sense of care. In fact, really the primary way that we care for people through this church is really through circles, through our small group structure, even more so than even through our pastoral staff in a lot of ways. A lot of ways we're getting involved or finding out about things after small groups have already helped to take care of things. Circles are where we not only look at God's Word together, but it's where we can also come together and just ask some tough questions if we need to. Circles are where you can say, you know, I'm not sure I believe that, or I'm just not sure how I feel about that, or I'm not sure if I even want to be a religious person because I met some religious people and I work with some religious people and I don't want to be what they are, right? And I understand it. If I'd had your experience, I'd probably feel the exact same way you do. But circles are where we can explore faith in a safe place. Circles are where you can show up on a Thursday night or a Friday night or a Sunday night and say, does anybody have any idea what David was talking about? Because it just didn't make sense to me this morning, right? That happens a lot, I understand, and that's okay. Go ahead and do that. But circles are where we pray together, where we can talk about things that we're struggling with, where we can share our experiences and wisdom with other people who are maybe going through some similar things that we've been through. In our culture, a lot of times we'll say things in our church culture, we'll say things like, you know, we're going to church. And I know what people mean when they say that. I know what we're talking about when we say that. But what we really mean is we're going to worship, right? And don't get me wrong, what we're doing here this morning is incredibly important for followers of Jesus to worship together corporately, to come together and to praise God and to focus on God in a community, in a large group, and to teach Scripture and to hear Scripture and to be, you know, have vision casted for our church and things like that. All of that is really, really important. Like I said, I like Rose. I love Rose. But the reality is church happens downstairs in our kids' ministry where kids gather, where they're gathered right now in circles with adults and student leaders who are investing in them week after week after week and helping them to explore faith and learn that Jesus loves them and what it means to follow Him. Church happens every Sunday night when middle and high school students come back and they gather here on our campus. And again, there are adults who are investing in them in small groups, in circles, and they're helping them figure out, what does it mean to be a middle schooler? What does it mean to be a high schooler? And what does it mean to live out my faith, even in those environments, not just when I'm at church, but wherever I am? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus as a middle or high schooler? And in church happens throughout the week in people's homes and here on our campus as adults meet together in small groups to support each other and encourage each other to do all of those things. And while I'm on this, I just want to say something to parents real, real quickly, and then we'll move on. But parents, do your best to get your kids here every Sunday morning that you can so that they can be a part of one of our kids' small groups. Because here's the thing, we as the church, Fabric Circle Church, we want to partner with you in the most difficult thing you will ever do in your life. And that is raise another human being, right? I mean, that's what you're doing. Remember when your first kid was born? I think by the second, third kid, we were past this. But remember when your first kid was born and you had to name them? And you're like, what are we going to name them? Because you're like, oh my gosh, what if we give them the wrong name, right? Remember how stressful that was? And then remember how everything after that, you realized that was the easy part. Everything else with that got really, really hard and much, much harder. So we want to help you. Raising a human being and raising them and to instill in them a faith, we want to help you do that. We want to help you be able to instill a faith in them that will be like an anchor in their life, that will be so deep and so strong that when they get ready to head off to college or to get ready to head off to work or wherever they go, they just won't be able to go too far from that faith that's been embedded in them. And by the way, where else are you going to find a community? Where are you going to find a group of people who will say to you, let us partner with you as you raise your kids and let us help your kids navigate the difficulties of life? We want to do that. And the really great thing about it is we do it for free, right? I mean, we don't ask for your tax dollars. We don't ask for tuition. We don't do any of that stuff. So parents, get your kids here on Sunday mornings so they can be in a small group, because circles, they really are better than rows. And if you have middle school students, you have high school students, help them prioritize Sunday nights so that those adults can speak into their lives and pour into their lives and help them navigate some of the most difficult times of their lives of being a middle and high school student, and so that they can partner alongside of you as a parent. Because here's the thing, circles aren't just a kid thing, and circles aren't just a teenager thing. Circles are an everybody thing. Circles are for Christians. Circles are for non-Christians. Circles are for people who aren't sure about Christianity and religion and all of that. And so I want us to look at a passage this morning. Solomon, who the Bible says was the wisest person who ever lived. He certainly was the wisest man in his day and time. Kings and leaders, world leaders, came to Solomon from all over the place for advice. And he said something that really we've all experienced at some point as adults, probably multiple times. But Solomon said something in the book of Ecclesiastes, which is where we're going to be, Ecclesiastes 4. So if you're turning in a Bible or if you've got your Bible app open on your phone or iPad, Ecclesiastes 4 is where we're going to end up. But he said something that when I read it to you, it's going to make sense to you. And you're going to be, yeah, I get that. I understand that. That's true. That's just true of life. It's just a little bit of common sense that Solomon gives us, but it's common sense that's not always so common in our culture because we just get so busy and we lose sight of it. But in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, he makes an observation about relationships that goes right to the heart of the issue when we think about the importance of being in community and being in a small group. And the reason some of you are not in a group is you would say, well, David, we're just too busy. Or our schedules, you know, our family schedule just doesn't sync up. Or we've got kids and they're a certain age. And I totally get that. I've been there. My family has been there. We've been through every stage with our kids. We've now got a 16-year-old and a 20-year-old. So I understand all of that. But here's the truth. If you connect with a small group, the people that you will meet in that small group, they are as busy, if not busier, than you right now, right? But the people who understand the importance of small groups and the people who have made it a priority in their lives and have kind of reordered their lives around being in community, they understand the importance and the truth of what Solomon wrote when he wrote these words in Ecclesiastes 4. He said this. He said, two are better than one because they have a good return on their labor. So that basically means if you got a job to do, you're cleaning your house, you're washing your car, you're doing whatever, get somebody else to help you, right? That's what he's talking about. And then he goes on, and he kind of gets to the tension around this idea of living in community. He says, if either of them falls down, one can help the other up. So he says, two are better than one, because if one of them falls down, or if both of them falls down, they can help each other up, right? But, and this takes us to the reason that this is so important for all of us. And by the way, this is an Old Testament passage. So this is not a Christian thing. This is just a thing, right? This is just a human thing. And he says, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen somebody fall and there was nobody there to help them up? I mean, I'm not talking about physically, because obviously if you saw them there and they fell, you would be there to help them up, and hopefully you would. That's the right thing to do, by the way. But have you ever seen somebody fall financially and there was nobody in their life to help them up? You ever seen that? Have you ever seen somebody maybe fall in a relationship and there was just nobody there to help them through that and to help them up? Have you ever seen somebody who had a serious illness in their family? And really, other than family, there was nobody there to help them up and to help them through that very difficult time. Here's another question. Who in your life is there to help you up when you fall? If you were to face one of those situations or something like that, like I just mentioned, who in your life has permission to ask you, are you okay? And they will not take, I'm fine, as an answer. Who in your life, what group is in your life that if they were to ask you, are you okay? They're not going to accept, I'm fine, as an answer, because they can look at you and they can know you're not okay. Is there anybody, is there a group of people in your life that if you were to fall in your job, financially, something happened to one of your kids, that they're already in place to help you up? Because Solomon says, he says, pity the individual who falls, no fault of their own, just something goes wrong in their life and they fall and there's nobody there to help them up. He says, pity the person who falls and has no one there to help them up. And then he says this, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. Now, he changes the imagery a little bit, right? From somebody who falls and can't get up to someone who's now overpowered. And in our culture, that word overpowered, we could put another word in there. We could put a different word in there. The word I would put in there would be the word overwhelmed, right? That he says, though the one may be overwhelmed, two can defend themselves. At some point in your life, at some point in my life, because of a season in life that we're in, or because of something that we just don't anticipate, we're all going to feel overwhelmed. And Solomon says, when you feel overwhelmed, he says, you will respond to the overwhelming circumstances of life better if there is someone there to walk alongside of you during that time. Now, you and I, we didn't need Solomon to tell us that, did we? Because we already knew that. It's intuitive. But at some point, we're all going to feel overwhelmed. And then he says something that gives us some really, really powerful imagery. He says this. He says, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Now here's the thing. I've been in a lot of small groups through the years. Over the last 20, 25 years, I've been in a lot of small groups and small groups with a lot of different people. And here's something that I've observed. And if you've been in small groups for a while, you may have observed this as well. But here's what I've observed. I've been in small groups with plenty of broken-hearted people. In fact, in almost every small group that I've been in, there's been at least one person there that was dealing with a broken heart in some way or another. But I have never met anyone who was in community, who was investing in other people and other people investing in them, whose broken heart left them broken. I've never met anyone who was living in authentic community whose broken heart resulted in them just being broken down and them staying there. And what Solomon alludes to here is simply this, that at some point in our lives, we all need people who will help us and support us and encourage us and others who have made it through where we've been and can help us deal with that, people who can help us get through those kinds of things when things happen that are beyond our control, people who we can spur on, going back to week one, and who will spur us on in the process. And he says, I pity the person that when they fall, there's just no one there to help them through that. There's no one there to help them back up. So consequently, small groups isn't just something that we do as another church program here. We really do believe that circles are better than rows. That we're not a church with small groups. We're a church of small groups. So circles are there to help you when you fall down, when things go wrong or things are difficult. But here's the really, really cool things about circles. Here's the great thing about small groups. Circles are also there to keep you from falling down or to keep you from being overpowered or from being overwhelmed. That being in a small group has the potential to keep you from falling or keep you from being overpowered or overwhelmed in the first place. So in that way, circles or small groups, they're actually preventative. That circles are preventative. In other words, somebody can see what you can't see, right? Somebody can see what you can't see. Or someone, to say it another way, someone can see it coming when you can't. And you're like, well, we don't even know what it is. Exactly. That's my point. You can't see it coming. But someone else can. Think about this. How many times, and don't raise your hand and don't nudge people and don't cut your eyes over to somebody if you know what I'm talking about here. But think about this. How many times have you been with a family and you've got kids that are older than their kids, they've got younger kids, and you see the way they're treating their kids, or you see the way they're disciplining their kids or not disciplining their kids, and you look at that and you can see it coming, right? You know where that's headed. You know what's going to happen. Why? Because you've been there and you've got some experience there. Or how many times have you been with a couple and you listen to the way that he talks to his wife? And you can see it coming, but he can't. Or you're with her and you hear the way she talks about her husband when he's not around, and you can see it coming, but she can't. And every single one of us have been with people, and when we look into their lives, it's so, so easy to see what's about to happen in their lives. We can see it coming, but they can't, right? And in the same way, there are people who can look at you in your marriage, in the way that you're raising your kids, in the way that you handle money, in the way that you're behaving as a single adult. They can look at your life and they can see it coming, but you can't. And the great thing about circles, the great thing about small groups is it can actually be preventative. Somebody else can see it coming, and they're in a position to point it out, and it's not fun, and it's not something that you would want to sign up for unnecessarily, but it's critical for our maturity, it's critical for our success, and specifically, it's critically for our success relationally and spiritually. And one of the great things about small groups is, if there is something coming, you are already in an environment. There is already something in place. You are with a group of people who care about you and love you and will find, over time, they will find the permission to say to you, hey, look, this is really awkward, but I just need to talk to you about this because I can see it coming and I want you to avoid that. I don't want you to go through that unnecessarily. And let me say this specifically to the married people here, and then we'll move on and wrap up. But married people, here's the thing. All of us in our marriage, There are things in our marriage that other people can see that we cannot see. And worse than that, husbands, there are things that your wife can see and you can't hear her, right? And ladies, there are things that your husband can see and he's like, I'm not going there. I'm not bringing that up. I did that once. I slept on the couch for a month. I will not go there again. Honey, let's just go to small group, right? I mean, that's the truth. We all need it. We all do, and we don't just need it as individuals. We need it as couples as well, because here's the thing. Every marriage, and I've been doing this for a long time, and nothing surprises me, okay? I've seen it all. When I get that email, when I get that phone call, when I sit down with that individual, that couple, that family, and I hear their story and what is going on, nothing surprises me anymore. The other pastors in this room can tell you the same thing. We're not surprised by anything anymore. But here's the deal. Every marriage needs some support now in order to avoid the need for life support later. Every marriage needs support right now in order to avoid needing life support later. And that is why I say that small groups can be preventative, that community can be preventative. There are things that you may never have to face, things that you may never have to go through. There are problems that you'll be better equipped to deal with if you are in a group of people who are studying God's Word together, who are talking about how it applies to their lives, who are praying for each other, who are spurring you on, and you are spurring them on. There are things that can happen in small group that just can't happen in any other way, and they can actually be preventative. But here's the tricky part. It's the tricky part about small groups. It's the tricky part about community. It's a lot like retirement savings. If you wait, you won't have it when you need it. If you wait, it won't be there when you need it. So here's what I want to do today, and I'll close with this. Join one of these groups, right? They're in your program. They're online. There's signups out in the lobby. Join one of these groups. If you need help finding the right group for you and your family, your situation, your time frame and all that, I would love to help you do that. Our rest of our staff and our small group leaders will be out in the lobby. We would love to talk to you about the best small group for you. And like I said last week, you're not signing up for a group for the rest of your life. Okay? You are signing up for the next 8 to 10 weeks, depending on the particular group and what they're studying. And then that semester will come to a close. We'll take a break, and along about the end of January, 1st of February, we'll crank up a new semester with more groups, and you can jump back into that group or try out a different group if you need to. But here's the deal. Don't do life alone. Don't do life alone. And don't just live your spiritual life in rows, because circles really are better than rows. Let me pray for you. God, I thank you for creating community. I thank you that you wired us for community. And you didn't just wire us for community. You went out and you created the church, because the church was your idea. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for creating this kind of an environment and atmosphere where we can come together each week in large group. We can sit in rows, we can stand in rows, and we can sing praises to you and focus on you and just have a bright spot in our week, learn about Scripture and all of that. And this is so meaningful for all of us, and we thank you and praise you for it. But God, I thank you that you also give us community in small environments, in small groups, in circles. I thank you for each of the groups that's going to be meeting this week or this semester, and I just pray that you would bless each one of them. And for those who are new or maybe even checking it out for the first time, I just pray that you just give them the confidence they need to show up and to plug in and to be a part of that group. But I thank you for community, and I just pray that you would just lead all of us to the right community and to the right circle, to the right small group, whether it's one of the small groups here in our church or maybe a small group in our community that we know about through other friends, or maybe there's a small group of Christians that meet in our own work environment. But I pray that each one of us would figure out a way to plug in and to be a part of that so that not only will there be people in place to help us in difficult times, but maybe there'll be people in place to help us to avoid some difficult times. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Let's stand and sing our song of response.